This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, Steelers lost. You're waking up this morning. Maybe you went to bed. It was much closer than if you went to bed after the third quarter, and the Steelers were down 27-10. Ends up 41-37. Frantic comeback, Steelers 27 fourth quarter points, but it wasn't enough as they couldn't stop them, well, all game, but at the very end of this football game. What does this do in the standings, Ben Roethlisberger?
It's a big loss. You never like to lose football games. You like to go on runs like we had, but it's a good football team. We came to their place, and things happen. There's still some time left, and you know, we're just going to have to get it figured out and play our best football down the home stretch, because that's what it's all about. It's when can you play your best football, and we've got a few games left, and we got a lot of division games coming up.
Yeah, we'll dive into the minutiae of this one for sure. Seven games left, four division, six in the conference. You know, when I walk away from this and I take a deep breath, I say, I would be able to have taken a moral victory away from this game with nobody available on defense, Ben Roethlisberger getting it back together. The offense scoring 37 points, the defense playing with JVs and getting it together a little bit towards the end, I guess, and then giving it away, but playing with all JVs. I would be able to take a moral victory quotient from this if it wasn't for the tie against Detroit. If they would have turned that into a win against Detroit, I could wake up this morning and not feel totally awful, but the tie against Detroit makes me kind of feel totally awful, because 6-4 is a lot different than 5-4-1.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be tied with the Bengals for second. I mean, you'd be behind them by virtue of the tiebreaker, but still, I mean, just in looking at this game in particular, last night's, and trying to isolate it to last night's game, it would have been the biggest comeback, biggest regular season comeback, what, in franchise history, had they pulled that off. And for a few moments last night, you're thinking to yourself, dear God. Now, look, we all expected, to an extent, Ben to ride in on his white horse, right? And to pull some sort of heroics after not practicing at all. But none of us, I don't think, expected the defense to somehow hold it together at any point in the second half. Defense, special teams, make any kind of plays that would have given them a chance to win. They only made a couple. And we could talk a lot about the ones they didn't make, sure. But if they had somehow pulled that off, I would have been absolutely stunned and shocked. And that's the way I kind of walk away from it. Like, man, we were that close to seeing something incredibly wild happen.
Yeah.
A wild game nonetheless, sure. But it doesn't sting as much, I think, because of the nature of the comeback and how big it would have been. It's still, obviously, you don't want them to
but
be where they are.
They did find themselves on the top side of the two-minute warning, up 37-34, and it's really, really crazy, and then this happened.
Herbert in the gun, gets the snap, he's back to pass, looking left, throws left, got a man wide open, it's caught, down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, inside the 10, end zone, touchdown Chargers, it is Mike Williams, a 53-yard touchdown throw from Justin Herbert, and the Chargers have gone back in front. You've got to be kidding.
And that was emblematic of the Chargers' effort, and more so the Steelers' effort, and Cam Sutton tries to explain.
I was at corner. Obviously, we had a call along. I'm not going to get into specifics of the call. And you just didn't execute the call. So, I mean, kind of just
at that. Obviously, in a critical point in the game, we got to be all on the same page and can't have any miscommunications. And, you know, we just didn't get done. So, yeah.
I mean, this is just totally on the defense. You felt like if the offense was going to score 60, that the Chargers were going to score 65. If the offense was going to score 77, the Chargers were going to score 81 last
night. And that in particular was one of those moments where you shake your head and go, man, if only Minka were in there, maybe he doesn't bite up the way Norwood does and leave Mike Williams
wide open. If only there was an edge rusher to make Herbert make another move,
right.
even though he rolled the pocket so well.
If TJ Watt's in there, is Justin Herbert running for almost 100 yards on the ground? Probably not. If Joe Hayden's in there, are some of those receivers open the way? I mean, this one will be, and again, that's why I was so, towards the end of that game, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they somehow have the lead in this thing. But that's where missing, you could argue, three of your four biggest pieces on defense jumped up and finally bit you in the ass.
You knew that going in. You can miss a guy or two, you just can't miss them all at once. And Deontay Johnson talked about the other side of the football. He's on offense. He talked about the defense and being shorthanded.
I mean, it was tough. I mean, defense, you know, they played their best. They did what they could do. You know, like I said, offense, we put it on us, and we was able to come back and put points on the board. And it was tough. You can see, like, the defense not like how they was – playing like how you normally play and whatnot. It was tough not without TJ and Minka, and hopefully we get those guys back and get things back to how they used to normally be.
He was diplomatic, but it's a nice way of saying it's tough to win when you have Carl Joseph, Akello Weatherspoon, some guy named Dan Archibong, and what's a guy? Delonte Scott or whatever. Deontay Scott.
Yeah, that other guy.
Yeah, on the football field all at the same time.
When I have to check to see who a guy is when I see his jersey number on the field, that's bad news that guy's on the field. When everybody does a double take and says, wait a second, I thought they traded Melvin Ingram. What's he doing playing safe? Oh, wait, that's Carl Joseph.
And he gets a big holding call, too.
Yeah, you're right. It was, to use a Tomlinism, JV in personnel. And I think, again, to loop back on, I'm going to sound like a broken record this morning probably, to loop back on my takeaway from this game, it's amazing to me that they somehow had a lead that late in the game.
Absolutely. And again, to loop back to something else, I could have taken the moral victory side of it if they hadn't had tied Detroit. Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Now to Ben Roethlisberger, who will hear his full interview coming up at 8 o'clock, his post game. And I thought it was a really good post game interview. We'll play it for you at 8 o'clock. It's moments like these in games like these, as Ben Roethlisberger goes 28-44, 273, and three touchdowns, no interceptions, that Ben Roethlisberger, you start to think about this one, then you start to expand it out. If he stays healthy, if he continues down this path, if he plays like this, he might be their best option into next year. It's crazy to say, but we'll talk to Ed Bouchette, who's beat this drum a lot, coming up at 7 o'clock. I mean, Ben comes off the plane, his own plane. He beat COVID last week. He did that. He explains that whole process, and again, we'll hear it at 8 o'clock. This, it might only be 500 that Ben Roethlisberger, and look, I'd like them to move on from him, but he's obviously the best they got.
Well, they don't stay in that game and come back to take the lead, and I understand the defense and special teams plays that were crucial to giving them short fields, but they don't get to that point with Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins. They don't. It's because Ben was in there, and doing it with zero practice time throughout the week, which we saw him do it to the tune of four touchdowns against the Bengals once last year. So we shouldn't be totally surprised that he white knighted it a bit. He did. He marched in and gave them what they needed, despite missing a couple throws early, including the underthrow to Claypool, which we can get into the play calling that followed thereafter a little bit later. You're right to the extent that when you need somebody for a drive or for a quarter or maybe for a half – to get you back into a game or to charge back and maybe steal the lead for a few minutes as they did last night, Roethlisberger's the better option to both Rudolph and Haskins. I think the question becomes, how much more magic does he have left in there? How many more?
Especially over the course of a season.
Again, I go back to the second half against Indy last December. Okay, he still got it in there, and it gave us a little bit of hope. And then you get, You get a couple moments against Chicago late in the game to come back. You get the second half last night, and you go, oh, look, it's still in there. The old Cowboys still got it. I just don't know how often he can draw on those reserves anymore.
I think what I'm trending back to is this. Everybody said this was about a 500 team, and here we are as 10 games are down and 7 games are left, and that might be exactly what they are. They are what they were billed as. Mm-hmm. And did it take a circuitous route? Yes, for sure. Did injuries play a part last night? Yes, for sure. But perhaps when you put it all together, this is a win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win two, lose two, win three, lose three sort of football team.
Win three, tie one,
right.
Lose one.
And that's what it was always going to be. Always. It's a team that can't figure out organizationally if it wants to go through transition or if it wants to stay with what they got.
They want to be right on the edge. They want to be I won't say they want to be a mediocre team, but they're okay being a middle-of-the-road fringe playoff team if it gets them in the tournament, right, as Mike Tomlin says. Get them in the tournament and then see what happens, which, again, I don't think is a great organizational philosophy. I think it would do them much better to decide to turn in a new direction.
I agree.
Again, to your point, Colin, when you see Ben do that in the second half, in particular the fourth quarter last night, and those are the other two options, Rudolph and Haskins left on the roster, and you see the quarterbacks around the league, you go, well, maybe we'll take another year of the old Cowboy.
It's too late, because the other option was to take somebody like what you saw on the other side of the field last night,
yep.
And they had to do that last year. You had to go out and you had to get Mac Jones. You had to make a big play, and you had to get
Had to move
Fields.
Up and get Justin Fields.
Right,
yeah.
You had to do that if you were ever going to turn that page. 412-928-9370. Lots to get into. Get Money coming up next. The Five thereafter. Who's the best team in the AFC? We ask this every single week, it seems like. It's not that we get a different answer every week. It's that I don't know if we ever come up with a definitive answer. I think that's the answer.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that before the hour's out. And again, Ed Bouchette at 7 o'clock in his requisite spot. All right, Ed Bouchette, top of the hour, the Five in just a couple minutes. But right now, why don't we get money?
Get money, get money, get money.
All right, get money, get money, get money. All right, not a fashionable pick, I'm sure, but there's a lot of people looking forward to what's happening on Thanksgiving in those football games, and the Bills just got blowed out. They did. I mean, they were just not good. Killed. Just killed.
Killed.
By the Colts. They're playing New Orleans. I think this is going to be a bounce back for the Bills.
Yeah.
They're 4-point favorites at New Orleans. I would take the Bills. I know that's probably not a great pick. I'm sure a lot of people would advise against it. But I think they're going to bounce back.
Yeah, and I just New Orleans offensively with Simeon at the helm. I know they ended up scoring points yesterday, but they were garbage time points, and they look a little lost without a steady hand at the rudder offensively, and even. I can't believe I'm saying this, but at least Jameis was managing the game. And Simeon has not exactly done that. So I don't think it's crazy to be on Buffalo -4. Because I want to say it was like 5 or 6 even yesterday before the games. So you're getting a little value because of the way Buffalo performed yesterday. I'm all over Monday Night Football. It's 10.5 points, but I cannot believe. I know I said the same thing about the Buccaneers last week. But I cannot believe that Tom Brady is going to allow a poor performance, now 2 poor performances in a row, to sit there and stagnate and to continue to stew and fester. He's going to light the Giants up tonight. I just believe it. So give me Tampa -10.5. You might want to go with, I don't know what the total is on Brady passing yards, but I would be very tempted to go over. And just be all in on Tampa tonight to blow out the Giants. So
wow, okay.
That's where I'm going.
I like that. I like that a whole lot. And by the way, we came home on Friday for sure.
Yes.
Air Force took a little time. They ended up doing it in overtime late in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So good stuff. And your pick came home as well. I like it.
Brady's 294.5 passing yards. Maybe I'm not going to take the over, but I'll find something on Brady. He's still going to beat the Giants up and down the field.
The Five coming up in just a couple minutes.
Yeah, a whole lot to talk about. You'll hear Ben Roethlisberger's full postgame comments 90 minutes from now at 8 o'clock. Steelers insider Ed Bouchette less than 30 minutes from now. But a lot of stuff happened over the weekend, not just the Steelers loss in L.A. Producer Matt wraps it up for us with the Five.
Now, it's time for the five.
It's countdown!
Answering the five biggest questions of the weekend on the Fan Morning Show.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead! Number five.
Back-to-back shutouts now for the Pens as they beat the Leafs 2-0 Saturday night. What do you think's clicked most for the Penguins these past two games?
Well, the goaltending. I mean, there was that. When you have a shutout, it doesn't matter if you stop three shots or if you stop 61 shots. It's seemingly always the goaltending is number one. I think that needs to be mentioned. Also, they seem to be much more responsible on the forecheck. It's not it's sustained.
I was going to say and this is another cliche, but I think it's what we've seen, especially against Toronto, letting the game come to them, right? You know, it's not going out of your way to create the scoring opportunities, which I think was happening a bit towards the end of the time without Crosby in the lineup, especially. Guys were pressing. They were trying to make a little too much happen, overextending themselves, like you said, on the forecheck, putting themselves in irresponsible positions where maybe they couldn't get back and cover their defensive responsibilities through the neutral zone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So just letting the game come to them. And yeah, goaltending helps when you get two consecutive shutouts.
Number four.
Another Sunday with upsets in the AFC. The Bills got totally steamrolled by the Colts, 41-15. The Titans lost to the Houston Texans, 22-13 in a sloppy, rainy mess. So we ask the question once again, who's the best team in the AFC?
We're going to get into that in just a little bit. I kind of want to save that. But I don't know if there's a definitive answer right now.
I'll say this. The last few weeks when we've asked this question, I've kept coming back to Buffalo and back to Buffalo and back to Buffalo. I'm off Buffalo now. I got a different answer for you in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
All right, Ben Roethlisberger. He finished the game 28-44, 273 yards, three touchdowns. Do you come out of this game feeling better about him for the rest of the year, or is it relatively unchanged?
I come out of this saying he's the best they got for sure right now, and there's no question.
Mm-hmm.
And for one day, he could still really get it together. But it doesn't change the fact that I just don't – and they did. They scored 37 points, 27 in a quarter, which is unbelievable for any team, especially the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just not going to let it cloud my judgment in what the best play long-term is. And what should have been the best play long-term already.
Yeah, no, we can't go back in time, unfortunately, and convince Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney II to do the smart thing this past offseason and finally detach themselves from Ben Roethlisberger, even for fear of a losing record. But, and I think at the same time, looking forward, we can't allow, you know, one fourth quarter, like, to make us think that that's going to come out of Ben every single time. You know, it was a little bit of a white knight performance. He didn't practice at all during the week. He wanted to show up for his guys. He did. I'll give him credit. Yeah, they got the ball on some short fields. That helped. Yes, he had the underthrow to Claypool that led to an ugly goal line series. I get it. He wasn't perfect. Nobody's saying he was. But to Colin's point, he was better than the other two options they could have put out there last night. And that, I think, is what drives their judgment down on the south side. It's not organizationally long-term. What do we do? No, it's how do we just win more football games? And that's how focused, I think, hyper-focused to their own detriment they are on the immediate rather than the long-term picture.
37 points playing behind that offensive line should get you a win all the time, though. It doesn't matter who you have on defense. You score 37 points, it should get you a win. But Ben's going to want to come back. You know that. That's my takeaway from last night. Anyway, continue.
Number two.
Pitt Panthers, they won a barn burner at Heinz Field Saturday, beating Virginia 48-38 to win the ACC Coastal Division. Now, we don't know who exactly they'll play yet, as Clemson could still sneak in there in the ACC Championship game if Wake Forest loses to Boston College next week. So, at this point, though, for Pitt, is it ACC Championship or bust for this season?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I think it has to be. And at this point in the season, I'm kind of excited, and we should all be excited, but I still can't get past, and maybe I'm a hater, but I'm a huge Pitt football fan. I like the strides and everywhere they've gone. Every time I think of huge positives, I still think of the Western Michigan and the Miami games. Like, what it really could have been a magical season for Pitt.
Yeah, you win either one of those or both of them, and we're having a much different conversation. I've tried not to dwell on that over the last few weeks because I'm trying to just take the positives as they come. And yes, an ACC championship would be the nicest punctuation mark, I guess, you have left available to you on what will be Kenny Pickett's career. And a New Year's Six Bowl would be nice. Get in on something big like that. Get a nice opponent. Again, it's all about spinning things forward at this point for the future, and how do you best set yourself up for the future, knowing that so much of this season is because of Kenny Pickett, and Kenny Pickett's not going to be here next year. So that's when it gets into the recruiting game, building up the program's reputation. It helps when you can get in a big game on a New Year's Six stage, and that requires a win in the ACC Championship game.
Number one.
All right, this is another repeat question, The Steelers are 5-4-1 now, so two-parter. What's going to be their final record, and are they going to make the playoffs?
I told you, they're going to be 8-8-1.
Yeah, I mean, we both said 9-8 before the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the tie makes it 8-8-1. I think that's a no-brainer.
Locked.
Yeah, lock
what
it in.
What was the second part of that?
Postseason or no?
Yeah, they're going to get in and lose a wild card game.
No, I think the tie is going to end up costing them. I think there's too many other teams that will be stacked up at 9 wins. Bengals, Raiders, teams like that.
8-8-1.
Colts,
I can't
maybe.
Believe they're going to find a way to still go 500.
It's going
to
be great. It is going to be absolutely poetic. I don't know if it's justice. It's just going to be poetry.
Yes.
It's just going to be absolutely right for this Mike Tomlin team. You know Ben Roethlisberger is going to want to come back next season, though.
If he has another night like last night somewhere down the stretch, I could see him real. But, again, if he gets... He's getting the snot beat out of him some weeks. And if that keeps happening, I wonder how often he's going to want to keep doing that.
By the way, Snoop was there and Mike Tyson.
Yep.
Uh-huh. How about that? Mike Tyson was not one that we had predicted. But
hey, I didn't see Tyson. I saw Snoop.
Snoop was
there. I wonder if that game was – could it possibly be any more entertaining if you were smoking Toad?
Yes. Oh, what if he
– with Tyson.
I don't think Snoop would walk down the Toad smoking avenue. I think he's okay. He's got what he needs. He's all right with it. He's found his lane.
He's into all natural botanicals.
That's not a botanical. That's an animal. You don't need to smoke toad stuff. But anyhow, we get into our Twitter poll coming up next and ask the all-important question about the AFC. That's all straight ahead. Hello. Ed Bouchette, top of the hour. Did you check with Ed? He's going to join us still? Even with that quick turnaround time?
Yes, always does.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, let's go. Why don't we do our Twitter poll right now?
Come on, everybody. Let's tweet.
Yeah. Twitter it.
Tweets that are rocking.
It's time for the The Fan Morning Show's Twitter poll.
All right, daily Twitter poll. We do it every day. Thank you so much for all your votes. It gets a lot of action, and we appreciate that. So the weekend Twitter poll, and lots of votes there. Thanks again. Has the NFL gone too far in calling taunting penalties? Yes, it's too much, or no, it's a good rule. 78.6% of you, so almost 8 in 10 of you, say yes, it's too much. 21.4% of you say no, it's a good rule. Now, there was a play yesterday. Now, I just don't – taunting is when you – there's a difference between taunting and celebration, mm-hmm. I guess, that the officials are asked to delineate on the field.
There should be.
Okay? It's my understanding that when Cam Newton ran 50 yards
– to the middle of the field.
And did his Superman thing because he was at home, because he didn't look on the sideline, mm-hmm. because of all of that, that's just celebrating. Right. You're able to do that.
As we see guys run the full length of the field after an interception yes. or something to go mug for the cameras in the end zone.
But Cassius Marsh taunted because he looked at the other sideline.
I guess that's it.
I just, like, I don't think any of that should be called. I am all for all brands
yeah,
of celebration.
I don't know if you saw the Edward Solaire one
pointing.
Yesterday, pointing at
what
the guys who ran
in the end
zone.
What if a guy had some on his shirt and he was just telling him?
Right. The only kind of taunting that I would consider taunting, and I've referenced this before, is like, you knock a dude out over the middle, he's laying on the field, splayed out, and you're standing over him, like, talking in his face like Chris Tucker in Friday. You know? Like, that's taunting, okay? But Clyde Edwards-Helaire pointing at the linebacker as he jogs into the end zone, or even Cam Newton running in the middle of the field to do the Superman.
Right.
That's not taunting.
And yet, he didn't get flagged for that.
Right.
That's
right.
I don't understand this extra level of subjectivity that is now pinned on officials.
There are so many other things in the game, officiating-wise, that could be cleaned up with an emphasis on them. I don't know why this is the emphasis point this year.
Just let guys do what they want, honestly. Just unless, like you're right, unless somebody is knocked out standing over someone. That and this targeting rule in college football. Like, they lose Servassier Dennis like 5 plays into the game, Pitt does. And so many times, and that play, yeah, was it a big hit? It was. But I'll tell you the biggest thing with targeting in college football is, and I watch games all over the country, there are so many times that a guy gets called for targeting when his intent to deliver a blow was not at the head and the offensive player, not on purpose, just by happenstance, ducks into mm-hmm. getting hit in the head. What's the guy delivering the blow supposed to do in midstream? Change?
I'm okay even with a flag in some of
15,
those cases.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't like it because it extends a drive and maybe changes the flow of a game. But taking a guy out for one of those hits, again, you want to make it that's your warning, another hit to the head, you're gone? Okay, we can talk about that. But the one and you're done is just ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And I'm not just saying that because it's Servassier Dennis. I just think in general, one and you're done is ridiculous, unless it's an egregious hit.
It's a means well, but a practical nightmare
yes.
in that rule. And it also makes the game last 5 hours. Oh, and I think next year, honestly, they should call – I'm not talking about Pitt game, and I'm not just talking about senior day. They should look at shortening college halftime by 5 minutes to 195 minutes from the current 200 minutes of college halftime. And I'm talking about all games. Pitt, Stanford,
Texas.
No,
they're all 20 minutes at least.
It's so long.
Gotta get the bands out there. You gotta get the bands out there.
Oh my gosh.
Don't get mad at me, band people. Daily... I'm being legitimately serious. You gotta get the bands out there.
I like the bands, but shorten it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Tighten it up.
Well, it's the commercials too. They're just so long. A daily Twitter poll today. Check it out. This is today's question. Let's have a discussion about this. Who's the best team in the AFC right now? Titans, Ravens, Chiefs, or other? 62.5% of you say Chiefs. Second place was other. A lot of people writing in New England.
Yep.
10.6% of you say the Titans. 7.8% saying the Ravens. All right, let's run down the list here. So, New England shut out Atlanta 25-0 on Thursday night.
Right.
So, they're 7-4. The Ravens are 7-3. They just struggled with Chicago.
But without Lamar Jackson.
Correct. And Andy Dalton did it to him a little bit, which was crazy.
I couldn't
but again,
that.
Without Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And they seem to be the luckiest football
team.
I didn't
know Marquise Goodwin was still playing football.
Yeah. Or they're good at the end. I can't figure it. Harbaugh's a good coach, though. You got to give him that.
Yeah.
The Titans, they just got beat by Houston in a game that our man Nick Costas called would happen.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah. So, but they're what, 6-3, I think the Titans are?
8-3.
Or, excuse me, 8-3, yes. Yeah. But they just lost. The Chiefs are 7-4, and it was a lot of buildup for a game that was just okay against Dallas.
It's crazy that as the Chiefs' defense has started to get right over the last 3 or 4 weeks, the offense has started to fall off, at least in point production terms.
But feed me direct snaps to Travis Kelce around the goal line. Yeah. I mean, come on. They've turned into doing what they needed to do. And the Bills, they're fake. They are fake. They get drilled by the Colts, and they're now 6-4, and they play on Thanksgiving.
Here's the thing
Day.
With the Bills. They're capable of having both the best offense and the best defense in the league on any given day, but I don't know how 2 out of the last 3 weeks they've just completely not shown up.
All right, now to the question that we ask every single week, and a lot of times at about this time. Who is the best team in the AFC? You can't tell me it's the Patriots, is it?
It might be. I'll tell you who it's not.
Their point differential is ridiculous.
I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Tennessee because we're seeing the effect of not having Derrick Henry and not having a feasible – nobody's a reasonable facsimile of Derrick Henry, but I don't even know if they have a reasonable backup, right? They're piecing things together in the run game. And without a run game, Tannehill gets a little bit more exposed. It's not Tennessee, despite their record. It's not Baltimore because – even though they won on the road with a backup quarterback, I still see too many holes. They're close, though. And it's not Buffalo because, again, 2 out of the last 3 weeks, they've totally pooped the bed.
So
it's
you're not
Kansas
naming
City.
The best team. You're just eliminating all the
I'm eliminating
the other
teams.
Ones. Okay, that's
I'm
a great exercise.
I'm eliminating Kansas City because I still don't – I'm not all in on their defense yet. And I don't. You never know when Mahomes could have another game where he blows up like he has a couple times early in the year. So it by the process of elimination tells me it's New England.
It might, and we know their coach cheats, but we know he's a great coach.
And Mac Jones is starting to put it together.
He's good. He's really, really
like
good.
The first 6-7 weeks. It was like, oh, they're just simplifying the offense. McDaniels is check down Charlie here is going to slowly move it down the field. Now he's starting to open. He's hitting 15-yard outs on a rope that whoa.
He's a rookie quarterback. Another thing, check out. I don't have it. What's a road record? Have they lost on the road?
No, they're 5-0.
Right. I mean, this guy goes into places and wins.
Yeah.
They don't win at home.
And their defense is really starting to bow up.
That would make them 2-4 at home.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that would
tend to
get better.
If they go, they have 9 home games this year, so they've got 3 left at home. If they go just 2-1 at home, that'll get them 9 wins right there. And then all they got to do is, I'm guessing, steal 2 more on the road. Maybe 1 more on the road, and they're in the playoffs at the very least, if not winning the division.
New England-Tampa Super Bowl, imagine.
I'm all here for it. If the Steelers can't be there, I am all here for it.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I mean, New England, people left them for dead a little bit too early, I guess. Oh, man. Ed Bouchette, top of the hour. We talked to him. Fan weather. You got that music ready? Smiley ready to tell us what's going on, producer Matt? Yeah.
I do.
Yep. I saw Smiley singing Christmas carols at Light Up Night.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't go. I mean, on TV. I didn't go to the Light Up Night. Zeiss told me not to go to Light Up Night, so I didn't go to Light Up Night.
Amateur hour. All you people should have known that I had to go to work tonight.
You know, I contemplated it for about 10 minutes. I was thinking about it. My son just wanted to go. My daughter did. I was thinking about it maybe, and then I decided against it.
I actually went to Shaler's Light Up Night on Saturday.
I mean, come on. What do they do?
They do, yeah.
I know Aspinwall has one. I saw that.
I mean, less crazy than the cities, tell you that.
Allegedly. Which one does Heather Abraham go to, the city one or Shaler
one? I don't know.
One?
I didn't
She's
see her
She's eligible
at the
for both.
One. She is.
Yes.
Didn't see her at
Same
the Shaler
with Caitlin
one.
Sykes, I believe, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe maybe. But where was Shaler's Light Up Night? At the library?
Yep, on Mount Royal.
Okay. Did you sing some Christmas carols?
I did not personally, no.
Did you see people singing Christmas carols?
I did.
Did they light a tree?
They did light a tree.
Did you move your lips like you were singing, right, even though you weren't really singing?
No, there wasn't like a...
That was my big move in church all
there
the
time.
There
was a countdown.
Who gave the countdown? Police Chief Sean Frank?
Santa.
Of course, Santa.
Crazy, he was in 2 places at once, I guess, last night. What, or maybe he went to the city after Shaler.
What dignitary was there? Who was the big dignitary in Shaler?
You?
Art Howe?
I don't know if there was one.
No, you.
I didn't pay attention
to Matt. Heather Abraham could have been it.
She could have.
She could have been it. Yeah, Danny Fortson? Tino Hunter?
Danny Fortson.
Maybe? No. Not getting it done?
Not that I saw.
Anyhow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.